During a children's play, everybody had responsibilities, and one child was assigned to dim all the stage lights except a spotlight over the manger. And when the time came during the play, when he turned to turn off all the lights, he accidentally turned off the spotlight over the manger too. And one of the children in the play whispered loudly, "Hey, you switched off Jesus. You switched off Jesus." That happens with us sometimes. But you can't do the Lord's work without the Lord. So if Jesus gets switched off, that's a problem. In 2 Kings chapter 6, if you want to turn there in your Bible, as we look at that passage in this message I've entitled Regain the Cutting Edge, we find a servant who couldn't work because he lost an axe head. The good news is that he regained his cutting edge that he needed to do effective work. But let's look at those first few verses there in 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. "And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, 'See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell.' So he answered, 'Go.' Then one said, 'Please consent to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' So the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, 'Pick it up for yourself.' So he reached out his hand and took it." Christians are called to serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sadly, sin gets in our lives and switches off Jesus and his ministry power. Maybe you know what losing the edge feels like. No matter how hard you try, you make little progress. You get frustrated, discouraged, even depressed, sometimes not even able to point to the cause. What was it that brought you to this place? What was it that brought this about? What was it that brought me here? You lack passion in your service to God, in your relationships, or in your job. You feel like you're not really living life, just going through the motions. Most of us, if not all of us, have been there in our lives, in our walks with our Lord. The good news is that God can restore effectiveness to your ministry. He can bring back fulfillment and the resource needed to make life meaningful. You say, "You know, hey, preacher, I'm good. I can see this guy. He may need this, but I'm good." Well, okay then. In your case, I'll give you something that you can have handy when the time comes. Okay? We want to make sure we have something for everyone. But let me give you a little context. Elisha was running a school for prophets at Gilgal. We learn that from chapter 4 and verse 38. It was basically a seminary. They had outgrown their living quarters because there were now 100 men. That's also chapter 4, verse 43. Our text picks up the story as they're working to build a new facility for their group. And these were poor men. They They couldn't hire workers. They couldn't call in the electrician. They couldn't call the plumber. They had to do all the work themselves. In fact, they even used borrowed tools. So when the axe head fell in the water, there was a great concern. The handle was useless without the cutting edge. Have you ever tried to cut down a tree with an axe handle? You know, you can hit that tree, you might make a few dents in the bark, but mostly you're going to hurt your hand. The man lost his power to work. He had to regain it in order to resume his labor with his co-workers. So the question I have to place before us at this time is, how do you regain lost cutting edge for ministry power? Let's take a look at our text and see if we can discover some steps that result in renewed power. Four steps to regaining your spiritual edge. First of all, realize the power is a stewardship. Verse 5. It was borrowed. Power to do the Lord's work is given to us by God through the Holy Spirit's indwelling. Power is first gained at your salvation. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and the power that you need for ministry is present in your life because of the Holy Spirit's presence. In fact, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, dwells within us because of the Holy Spirit's presence. The first step in getting back your cutting edge is to define the problem. The axe head is lost. It was borrowed. I can't repay the man I borrowed it from. Do you have problems in your life? If you have a problem, raise your hand. Okay, most people have some problem, some kind of problem in their life. And rest you, you're good, okay? Well, that's great. Listen, everybody has problems in their life at some point. And everybody needs help at different times. It might be with relationships. It might be in parenting, maybe drug abuse, alcohol problems, pornography, problems with finances, problems at work and your employment. What about aging parents and trying to deal with that? Physical illnesses that come. Depression. If you're in school, academic struggles. Listen, spiritual power is sufficient, yet you must be dependent on Jesus Christ in order for God to use you. Philippians 4:13, that little verse, it says, I can do all things. Okay, I can do all things. Well, that isn't exactly what it says. There is a qualifier there, isn't there? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gives me, His presence gives me the strength that I need. That I can do all things. So, first thing we need to realize is that the power to do ministry is a stewardship from God. It's borrowed. If we're going to regain it, we need to realize that it is a stewardship. The second step in regaining lost power and being able to regain that power to do ministry is to return to where the power was lost. Verse 6, so the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. Now, I had a van with an engine that would just stop while driving down the road for seemingly no reason. Just driving along and the engine would just cut out. Couldn't figure out what the problem was. Would have to just wait for a little while and eventually it would start back up again. Sometimes it would take a few minutes, sometimes it would take a half an hour, sometimes it would take more. Couldn't figure out what it was. Tried to deal with it as best I could. Something that I learned about it, though, was that if I kept the van under 50 miles an hour, I could keep it mostly under control. I could keep it going. But if I went over 50 miles an hour, it would just cut right out. So I worked hard to keep it under control like that. Well, we went on vacation, where we went down to Ocean City for a week to camp, and then we went up to Massachusetts for a week. Well, on the trip to Ocean City takes, what, 3 hours on the average? Well, it took us 6 hours, because we'd go a little bit, engine would stop, we'd have to wait. Sometimes it would be a short time, sometimes it would be longer, 6 hours. And then when we finally arrived there, it cut out about a half a mile or so before we got to the campground. Wouldn't start, couldn't get it going again, so we had to walk the rest of the way. Well, fortunately, you know, we were staying there for the week, so it wasn't that big of an issue. We left the vehicle and we had fun, great time. When we went back, you know, got it going, and we began our trip to the other half of our 2 week trip up to Massachusetts to visit our family. Came through Baltimore, and as we began to, we had a little discussion on whether we really should drive 400 miles with this vehicle, but we decided to go, and so we started, headed out. We got to just before Harford County, where there's that sign on I-95 that says Joppa, next 1 mile. Well, it broke down. We got to read that sign for 45 minutes. I called my brother up, let him know, because that's who we were staying with. I called my brother up, and he said, well, you want to try if you think you can get up here? He said, I have a friend who's a mechanic. He can come over and take a look at the vehicle. He should be able to fix it. And so I said, well, I don't know. You know, driving a car that you got to keep under 50 miles an hour and drive 400 miles, we decided, yeah, let's do it. So we took off, and it took us a while. It took us many hours, but we finally did get there. And it was an issue because, let me tell you, trying to keep it under 50 miles an hour, trying to keep control of that thing, driving down the highway, going downhill, and the traffic going by me is going 65, 70 miles an hour, and I'm trying to keep my vehicle under 50. I couldn't keep it under 50. No matter how much I tried, I couldn't keep it. So we kept having trouble. Well, we got up there, and my brother's friend came over, looked at the car. He said, hey, go get this part from the auto parts store. It's a little part, ignition module, mounts on the firewall. Little part, $30-something. Brought it back, installed it, never had a problem again. It restored the source of power to where it was supposed to be coming from. I just had to drive it. I didn't have to control the power anymore. I could just drive the vehicle. The power was coming where it was supposed to be. And everything was okay after that. We discovered where the power was lost and went back there and fixed it. And you have to return to the place where the power was lost to get it back. If sin caused you to lose power, then you have to go back to the place of sin and deal with it. Acknowledge it, confess it, ask forgiveness, be forgiven, regain the power. David, remember King David, he sinned with Bathsheba, his general's wife, when the general was off in battle. David invited Bathsheba, his wife, over to the castle. They had a time, she went home, and then shortly after she sent back message, hey, I'm pregnant. Well, David does everything to try and cover that up by bringing Uriah home from the battlefield, get him drunk, try to get him to go home and sleep with his wife. Uriah being an honorable man wouldn't do it. David tried that twice, wouldn't work, so he became desperate, sent Uriah back to the battlefield with his own death warrant, where he was placed up at the front and he was killed. Once he was killed, David brought Bathsheba in to be his wife, covered things up. Everything was cool. No, David lost his power. Things just became a problem after that. The prophet Nathan, David thought everything was cool. Bathsheba had the child, but the child got sick and was dying. The prophet Nathan came to David, told him this little story about a man who had everything, and he had a friend who had just one little lamb. That was really almost the only possession he had in his life. And the rich man took that lamb to feed someone who was visiting with him. And when David heard that, man, he was so angry. He said, that man who did that deserves to die. And Nathan said, you are that man. God gave you everything. And he would have given you more. And you took the one thing of your man Uriah. You took his wife. David, he cried out, I've sinned before God and man. Well, David, in Psalm 51, we have the story of David's repenting, confession and repenting from that. And then David got his power back. But you know, he never really did get his power back. He never did get it completely back, because the prophet Nathan said there'll be a sword against your house. And from that point forward, David had so many problems with his family. But you have to go back to the place where you lost it, where the sin occurred, and you get a deal with the sin. When spiritual power disappears, it's only self-examination that will reveal where it was lost. And that's the only way you can get it back. So you got to return to where the power was lost. And then third step in regaining lost power and regaining the cutting edge for ministry is to, third, request the power's agent for help. Verse 5, he said, alas, master, the servant went to Elisha for help. Remember, he was the miracle-working prophet, listen, who had a double portion of the Holy Spirit's power that was displayed in Elijah. Now, Elijah's the one that we remember the most. He had all the great exploits. But Elisha had twice as much power as Elijah ever had. He was called to be a servant, to work with and be trained by Elijah. And when the time came for Elijah to be taken from this life, Elisha said, I want a double portion of your mantle. And Elijah said, okay, if you watch me leave, then you'll get that double portion. And so after that, Elisha never took his eyes off of Elijah. He got to watch Elijah go off in a fiery chariot, and then he received the mantle, and he received twice the power. If anyone had the ability to help in an impossible situation like this axe head, it was definitely Elisha. The young prophet who lost that axe head, he knew to go to Elisha. But you know what, unfortunately? So often, we turn to the wrong person. So often, we turn to the wrong things for help. Albert Einstein said this. He said, we will never solve our problems with the same level of thinking that created them. You see, sin caused us to lose the power. We can't deal with that at the human level. It has to be dealt with before God. We have to go where it can be solved to the one who can solve it. People try to help us. I mean, they do their best, but it doesn't help us regain the power. It falls short, or is short-lived in our own strength. So as Christians, we raise the level of thinking by seeking God. Look at 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God can not only forgive our sins, He has that power, but He also has the power to wipe away the effect of the sin. So, why do we go to those who can't help? And we do it all the time. Instead of going to God, we go to the world, looking for help in solving our problems. Confess means, if we confess our sins, confess means to agree with. But you know what the problem is with confessing? You know what the problem with that is? I hate to admit mistakes in my life. I don't know about you. You may be the same way. I hate to admit mistakes. You know, one day I was working at the church with a couple of members, and we needed to get a part, and so we had to take a trip to a parts store, and one of the workers came with me, and as we drove to the place, I made a turn down a particular street, and the person with me says, "Why'd you go that way?" And I went, "Oh yeah." And we went a little bit further down. I made a turn. And he said, "Why'd you go that way?" And I, "Oh, yeah." And that happened a couple of more times. "Why'd you go that way?" "Oh, yeah." We finally got there, got the part, went back, fixed it all. But you know what? I hated it every time he said, "Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that?" Let me tell you, don't let pride keep you from God's grace. The most difficult thing to do is acknowledge your sin when the Holy Spirit says to you, "Why are you going this way? Why did you go that way?" And yet, God's cleansing is what's necessary to get conditions ready to regain spiritual power. So we need to see who has the help for our situation, which is God, for ministry. And we need to seek His help. So request the power's agent for help. And then finally, number four, reclaim the power by active faith. Look at verse 7. "Pick it up." He reached out his hand and took it. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 is an interesting verse. It says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Well, you know, that's interesting, you know, that opposite there, that contrast. Do not be drunk with wine, where meaning that you don't have full control of your faculties and alertness, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, have that power operating in your life. That's all interesting. But what's interesting to me, I mean, that's interesting, but that's not what I'm talking about. What's interesting to me is that where it says be filled with the Spirit, that be filled is a command. That means that if we're living this Christian life not filled with the Spirit, we're in sin. Think about that for a moment. You see, the filling is the result of yielding. Spiritual power is given to those who surrender to Jesus Christ's Lordship. You see, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit when we're saved. But then there's the process of filling of the Spirit. And we can be filled with the Spirit many times. We can only be baptized by the Spirit once. And that happens when we are saved, when we're baptized into the family of God, into the church, the corporate church. But we can be filled again and again because, you see, we walk in the Spirit, we walk in the filling. We step into the flesh, we sin, we lose the filling. We need to regain it. So we can have the filling over and over again. But we need to be saved. We need to have a relationship with God before we can be filled with the Spirit. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? You've been sitting here listening to me for all this time, and you're thinking, what in the world is this guy talking about? Well, let me tell you. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us, there's not a one of us that escapes. We all are in the same place. And we all deserve the same thing. We deserve God's punishment. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Ah, but then it says, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. That's because God loves us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And how did God demonstrate that love? He sent Jesus, yes, but Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what we need to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Confess with our mouth that Jesus died for us. Believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. For with our mouth confession is made, and with our heart we believe unto righteousness. Romans 10:9-10. And then we reach out and we ask. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. So we regain, as we are baptized in the Spirit, we get the filling of the Spirit at salvation. But we step into the flesh, as we drift into the flesh, as we sin, we lose that filling, we need to regain it. Sin's effect, there's a need for another refilling. We like to call it a recommitment in the church. It's surrender. It's surrendering to the control of the Holy Spirit. It's acknowledging our sin. It's asking God to forgive us. Walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 talks about that, and it's so easy. We walk in the Spirit, and it's so easy to just step over into the flesh. And then we need that filling again. We need a fresh filling. Now, I borrowed a video projector. Way back in the days when the video projectors were first around, I borrowed it for our church and from our association office. And problem, man, it kept losing power. I turned that thing on to use it. It would run for about 15 seconds and it would shut off. It would be like a flicker of light for a few seconds and it would go off. I couldn't figure out what it was. Kept pushing the button, kept losing it. Kept pushing the button, kept losing it. Then, as I was looking at things, trying to figure it out, I looked on the ground and I saw this little piece of plastic. And I'm looking, wondering what it was. I looked on the back of the projector and there's the little holes that seemed to match it. And I put that thing in there and it was like a guard that when I pushed it on, it kept it on. Listen, Christians can come to the place of only brief flickers of commitment or involvement. The pattern of life keeps switching off Jesus. We get things right and we keep switching off Jesus. This can be not just a pattern for individuals, it can be a pattern for a whole church. Let me ask you, what about you? Have you lost your spiritual power? Have you lost your cutting edge for ministry? Where'd you get off track? Would you let the Lord examine you to show you where you got off track. Now you're willing to go back and make things right. Surrender to the guard. Like that little thing on the projector. Surrender to the guard of Christ's control. Surrender to His Lordship. Or if you don't know Him yet as your Savior and Lord, surrender to His salvation. Give Him your life. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you. Be your Savior. The problem that often happens is we have difficulty receiving something because of our pride. It's just the way we are as human beings. It's so hard. Somebody says, hey, let me give you this. No, I'm good. We can be dying inside. No, I'm good. I'm okay. But you see, salvation, the thing about salvation is, we can't earn it. It's a free gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Even the faith to believe was a gift of God. Well, let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know Him as your Savior and as your Lord? Do you know Him? Would you pray with me? Father, I pray for everyone who's watching or listening to this message. Lord, that You would speak to each heart. That You would bring conviction. That there is a need for forgiveness. And that You would give the grace to be able to reach out, knowing that Jesus Christ died for us. And He rose from the dead. And that He has the power to give us victory over death. That You would give conviction of that. And that You would give the grace to ask. Father, we just thank You. Father, I just pray that each one would know You as Savior and as Lord. We place it all before You in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do You have the cutting edge for ministry? Do You have that cutting edge power because of the Holy Spirit's presence, or have You locked it along the way? Would You deal with that before the Lord? Praise God, and you just have a wonderful day today.